You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
How is Dak Prescott, coach?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I mean, he looks great. I mean, he really does. I mean, he's in here every day, so I can't say enough about the progress he's made.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It was a great day when his contract was completed for everybody here.
The Rich Eisen Show.
How about them Cowboys?
Earlier on the show, Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt. Coming up from NBC Sports, Peter King. Buccaneers general manager Jason Light, CNN host Jake Tapper, and now it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Peter King's going to join us in 20 minutes, top of the hour. Next hour, our final hour, we've got two guests, Jason Light, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He will join us. He got the whole band back together. It is a remarkable feat of free agency in the 21st century to pull that off, let alone for a Super Bowl winning team where everybody wants to get theirs. And there wasn't a single one that reached in with both hands and demanded, if you will, theirs. And I can't wait to talk to Jason about that, because there's also the sense out there that it's an impossibility to do it in this day and age. And then there's the sense of still being able to plan over the steering wheel for the future at the quarterback position and not antagonize your GOAT quarterback who's got a closing window of opportunity. And how do you handle that? How do you handle that? What if Brady wants to play till he's 47, 48?
I think that's likely.
Why? Again, I guess you'll cross that bridge.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the best part about Kyle Trask being acquired, it's the second round pick. So if you don't get him on the field, you don't have to make a decision about a fifth-year contract that's so darn expensive. You also don't get that contractual control. And that's the issue that the Packers have right now with the guy that they chose. The way to win championships in the NFL today, the two most, if you will, worn paths. Not every team is on one of these paths. Not either one. But the two most worn paths are the one that Tampa's on right now. Let's win with a late goat, right? Let's win one. You know, you'll see it with whoever might acquire Aaron Rodgers. That's one way to do it. It's a rare way to do it. Let's get somebody and let's win late with our veteran. You saw the Broncos do it with Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. Elway's lone championship as an executive. So we've seen it. That's a way to go about it. The other way that everybody else is in on this boat, you've got more people in on this boat, is draft a rookie, win with the rookie while he is inexpensive. And you can win a championship by spreading the salary cap dollars around him. On the line, front of the quarterback, on the line to hunt the other quarterback. Cornerbacks to protect the back end of a defense to get your young quarterback back on the field. If not, hand him the ball on the short field. That's what you want to do. And if you can get the weapons outside, you want to draft a receiver or two, you want to get one in free agency because you've got the cap dollars to do it,
so be it. That's the way to do it. And the Packers decided to have both. Let's try and win late in the game with a goat, and let's plan over the steering wheel with a first-round drafted quarterback who we're going to eventually have to turn to. And Aaron Rodgers saying, I want to get paid. I don't want to be told when we're done here. I'm not going to get the tap on the shoulder that we're done in Green Bay until I want to get done with it. Absolutely demolishes Green Bay's opportunity to win a championship in the first contract of their first round drafted quarterback. That's why you always see these quarterbacks drafted in the first round get pushed into the starting role right away. The years and of let's wait and let's have the quarterback marinate on the bench are largely over, and it's so rare to have a team keep the kid on the bench and let him marinate and mature and learn and still win a championship in the first iteration of his contract is so rare. Kansas City is the only one that's done it. Think about it. They let Mahomes sit for 15 regular season games and then won it 2 years later. And now he's paid, and we're going to have to see what happens then. That's the ultimate issue in the NFL is, can you win it in the first term of a player's contract and then pay him and still win it with that guy? Kansas City had an opportunity to do it last year. We'll see what happens in the coming years with Mahomes. I proffer to say they'll be successful. But this is what Green Bay tried to do. They had tried to have their cake and eat it. They try to have their soup that eats like a meal. They try to do all of those things, and Aaron Rodgers is trying to return the soup like an old man at the deli.
Takes the soup.
The sea is angry, my friends, in Green Bay. The sea is angry right now in Green Bay.
Is that a Callaway Chrome song?
Because he doesn't want to allow Green Bay to have both. Because to have both at some point means he can't have the finish of his career in Green Bay that he wants. And that appears to be the Rubik's Cube that they're trying to twist and figure out. You know my two cents. It's going to eventually turn, or at least it should, to say to Brian Gutekunst, hey, you're going to be here for a very long time. And I understand that we're going to, this kind of cuts you out at the knees a little bit here, but we're not trading Aaron Rodgers. That's not happening. And we're also not going to just like let him walk after one more MVP season and then go to Jordan Love then either. Like what is the plan here? Like, why did you draft him? And why didn't we talk to him? Why is this such a total complete mess? And then Jordan Love gets traded. Sort of like Jimmy G. So many people are like, that'll never happen. Well, why not?
Rich, do you think that one person that I can't even say his name, Brian, he had that power to make that decision solely on his own?
Absolutely.
Without discussing it?
That's what they do in Green Bay. Well, I'm sure he talked about it with his staff. That kid's dropping. I'd love to know. How long did they target him? He keeps dropping. Let's go get him. Let's trade up to go get him and not tell Aaron Rodgers, who we also know has a reputation for having an absolute elephant-like memory. If you don't know Aaron Rodgers after all this time and you've been in the organization since the late 90s like Gutekunst and you trade up to go get a replacement and you don't talk to him about it, what do you think is going to happen? Like, yeah, exactly. What do you think is going to happen? Like, the number of times I tell my children actions have consequences, and I do look like, what do you think was going to be the result of your actions? You know, like, I've lost track. And part of it, too, with everything that I'm saying, plays into what this man on the screen, Brian Gutekunst's colleague in Tampa, is building with Brady. Because what Brady accomplished, I said this, I'm a table pounder for what we do on the show quite a bit, and I own up to anything that I'm wrong about, I will. And, you know, to avoid being wrong, I now have this magic eight ball to the side that I can always reach for to make sure that I can check on my senses.
Wait,
sensibility.
Guys in your position don't admit when they're wrong.
I'm allowed to do that. Thank you, TJ. I appreciate you saying that. But when I'm right as well, Chris, I can't. And I always turn to you to back me up. Wasn't it literally 2-3 days after the Super Bowl saying the offseason is all going to be about the Brady effect? The other quarterbacks who are veterans in the league are going to look at what Tom has done in Tampa, has been allowed to do in Tampa, has been actually afforded in Tampa the, if you will, driver's seat to have all decisions made to dress the window of his opportunity.
It was pretty much the day after the parade, I think. You were all over that.
This is the Tom Brady effect, and you saw what Russell Wilson had to say exactly in the aftermath of the Super Bowl. Yeah. He sat there watching the game after winning the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. He's sitting there with his lovely wife in the commissioner's box, and you could see the wheels turning in his head. At least that's what I thought. Look at what Tom's doing. Look at what Tom's doing. Look what's being done for Tom. Look what's being done for Tom in this league where everything is supposed to be done for the organization. Why is Tom the organization in a new spot that has nothing at all under the bridge with him? Not a bridge. There was no bridge. There's nothing under the bridge. There's no nothing. This is his first year with him. Come on in, Tom. We're not going to sit here and talk about how old you are. Damn it. Look at our coaching staff. It's like Jurassic Park around here, mostly.
It was February 23rd. When you first said that.
2 weeks after the Super Bowl that was already on the wall written in Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers is probably sitting there and he was staring at this guy comes into his house and does to him what he's done to everybody else in the AFC. Now he's come and he's wrecked the NFC buffet as well. He's turned the NFL into his personal Harrow Club. This guy is just a guy who's now personal also, wait to it, it's just that this is the first offseason which it's going to happen too. What do you think's going to happen from here on out? I don't know why this has become more prevalent now. Maybe it's because he went someplace else to do it. And plus the number 7 is just so stupid, you know? It's the greatest come out role and you can have with a yo, right?
Oh, 7 every time.
Right? So his come out role in Tampa is a 7. Pay the man with the odds behind it and go for it. If you want to try it too, and just 7 on top of it, it's just going to mess with everybody. You've won 2. Normally that gets you in the conversation for the Hall of Fame. Now it'll be like, okay, now what? You're going to win a 3rd? Honestly, this is the way it's going to go in the NFL for a very long time, if not forevermore. Remember when Brady won his 2nd and he was so young and you're sitting there going, oh my gosh. Then he wins in 1 back-to-back, and then you're like, oh, my gosh, he's won 3 out of 4. Yeah. And it was just like, you still have a way to go. I mean, it's incredible. He's already made the Hall of Fame. He's barely 26, right?
5 years in, he's got 3 rings.
But then it was after that. He went through a very long drought until this last stretch. And it was like, what are you going to do, Tom, to get to Montana and Bradshaw? Can you actually do it? Because that's the next mountaintop. Then he takes that mountain. He puts another mountain on top of it in his 40s. Quarterbacks forevermore are going to be measured in an unmeasurable way. And the guy who's helping make sure that it can get to even more unmeasurables on our 3rd hour of the show with Jason Light. He got the whole band back together. And I'm sure that's an amazing feat for any general manager. And I'm sure Brady had to help. Because if somebody's thinking about going in with both hands and taking a little bit more than they should. Again, I'll just use the analogy again. Chris, you know, if you're so fortunate to have more children or whatever, or certainly those around you, last night I cooked barbecue for Suze and my mother-in-law and the kids for Mother's Day. I cooked, and Susie then put like a bowl of chips on the table, and every hand got in there. Right in front of their mother-in-law, who just like, you know, actually take the chips and put it on your plate. Don't dig in with both hands, you grubby fingers.
Grubby. No,
but that's Tom Brady. You're going to dig in with both hands?
Yeah, I am.
With Tom Brady for the chance to not play for the Tom Brady and upset the apple cart?
No, I thought you meant Tom Brady digging in with both hands to keep winning.
What I'm saying is the players who might think like, let me dig in with both hands and get mine. Let me get mine. I just won a Super Bowl. I'm going to get mine. And there's Tom Brady sitting there. Hold on a second. Like, you want to play with me?
Yeah. You want to keep winning?
You want to keep winning?
Yeah.
Really? Did you not enjoy that boat ride? I've got an 55-foot boat of my own.
Well,
77 feet. He upgraded.
Did he do that specifically because it matches the front and back number matches his number of rings?
Not sure.
Some people name the boat after the number of rings that they have. Others will buy the boat length to match the number of rings that they have twice over.
Well, after next year, it's going to be 88 feet. On it,
so that's the whole scenario being laid out here. For years to come, we can't even fathom the way that Brady has upended the NFL Harrow Club buffet. You're already seeing the start of it right now, but then for years to come. Mahomes, hey, Pat, great job. You got your $1 billion deal, right? Your $500 million deal, right? You now own part of the Royals. Great job. Great job. You win MVP year two. You win Super Bowl MVP year three. Great job. Great job. You just won your third? Oh, you're not even halfway to Brady. That's the way the best face of the NFL currently, right now, with the golden yellow brick road in front of him, skipping off to Oz, which is Canton. And
that's true.
And on that yellow brick road, he wins his third, which is two away right now. It's great job. You're not even halfway to the guy who beat you for his seventh. I'm telling you, we can't even fathom it. Jason Light, hour number three. Jake Tapper, hour number three. Let's take a break. We're back with Peter King. We'll hit the Bob Baffert Kentucky Derby controversy. Hope you didn't rip up those tickets. It wouldn't matter if you did, but you get my point. Peter King when we come back.
Oh, baby.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Big word alert. Big word alert.
Antonio Brown says he's moving past it. He's in a new place, and the Raiders would love him to move on. But clearly there's some sort of animus towards a guy that does not appear to have a single reason in a bone in his body to have animus thrown in his direction. It's really something else. What are the Steelers going to do?
Big word alert. Big word alert.
Big word.
Big word alert. Big word alert.
What do we do? Quick, look it up.
Big word alert.
Animus. A noun, meaning strong dislike, hostile attitude, or an ill feeling towards someone or something.
Animus. After Michigan got their butts kicked again by Ohio State, Rich had animus for all Buckeye fans.
Nice.
Big word alert. Big word alert.
So let me turn this one to
Good
you
job.
Then. Who, Frank Caliendo, out of your oeuvre of yes,
I like to think of it as the Louvre
of your voices. Who would be the biggest Game of Thrones?
Big word alert! Big word alert!
I don't know the word. You know.
Big word alert! Big word alert!
oeuvre, a noun, the works of a painter, composer, or author regarded collectively.
Oeuvre. My oeuvre as a DJ and an audio executive is unmatched.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's it for today's Big Word Alerts. You're welcome.
Tufo from with his hands on hip and the point. Excellent acting.
Those
Mike.
Were really fun. I mean,
you should get I'm your SAG card. Do you have a SAG card?
I should have one.
You should have one. It's the only union you're probably not part of, right?
I should have the EGOT. I should have a
How many unions are you a part of, Mike?
Five.
Yeah.
I have to be in one for something.
You're not including New Jersey, right? Union New Jersey.
No.
By the way, did you see, do you follow New Jersey's Twitter account?
Oh, that's the best.
Right? Did you see yesterday's?
Troll. No.
Shout out to your mother was the,
Wait, really?
The tweet from the New Jersey account yesterday.
They literally are the best. They troll other states.
Yesterday's Mother's Day tweet from
shout out to your mom.
Shout out to your mom.
They know who they are. Whoever runs that account, very aware of who they are.
They troll New York. Pennsylvania.
It's a great Twitter account.
They really are. They're good.
It's well done. Shout out to your mom. It was the Mother's Day tweet from the official account of New Jersey. Oh, my gosh.
They are.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate. We're appreciative of everybody who listens to us every day, having us here every day. And we love being here on NBC Sports on Peacock and part of the NBC Sports family. Is a man whose Football Morning in America column is must-read material, as it was once again today. Peter King back on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Peter?
Rich Eisen, how are you?
I am doing better for talking to you, Peter. So let's get into it here. I agree with you. The Aaron Rodgers situation is quiet, and usually when it's quiet after such a loud burst is, you know, not just because everybody's back to their corners and digging in, something's probably going to be afoot, if not now, the next week or so before, you know, the June 1st calendar hits, and then mandatory mini camps may appear and then be blown off, and then this whole thing gets blown up again. I'm wondering what you're hearing about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers as you and I converse here.
Not a lot, Rich. I mean, as I wrote my column, I think that that the two sides are essentially are trying to let things simmer down. And I mean, the Packers, obviously, with their multiple trips out to California, understand that there's a problem. Obviously, the Packers understand that the relationship is teetering right now. But they have said basically, hey, look, we're not trading you. I almost think that if, you know, Matt LaFleur gets on the phone with Aaron Rodgers right now, or Brian Gutekunst or Mark Murphy gets on the phone with Aaron Rodgers or with David Dunn, his agent, somebody might say something that they might regret. Not Aaron necessarily, because, you know, the team has to deal with him. So I kind of think we're in a little bit, as I wrote today, of the calm after the storm.
I still can't believe it a year later, Peter, that this is getting to the point where it is right now. As you know, Mike Holmgren said he would never have allowed it to happen with his star player ever. And I still can't believe it. Like, as I said in the previous segment, Peter, that I lost track the number of times that my wife and I have told our children all under the age of 13 when they did something and our reaction was a certain way that they did not like, that what did you expect your consequence to happen? Like, from your action, that Gutekunst never gave Rodgers a heads up and never spoke to him afterwards about it in the immediate aftermath, or attempted to and got rebuffed. Yeah. Like, is that really what happened? Like, he just thought, I'm going to trade up to go get this guy. And then, you know, Aaron will just be the usual, if you will, good soldier. Like, did that really happen? Do you think?
I think for a long time, you know, in Packerdom, it's one of those deals that, you know, the general manager picks the players, the coach coaches the players, and the players play. And there's not a lot of concern by the front office to say to the players, hey, listen, here's what we're doing and here's why we're doing this, which to me, and I would be very surprised if the Packers haven't already said something in their meetings with Rodgers, and that they haven't already said something like, okay, we're going to be more open, we're going to be more transparent with you in the future, blah, blah, blah. Because clear, that's the easiest thing to do. And I also wouldn't be surprised if Mark Murphy will intercede at some point in the next month or so and say, okay, here is the thing or things that we're going to do to change. But, you know, Rich, you're right. You know, for everyone who says, basically, you know, this is the way our business is. My boss doesn't come to me, even if I'm a treasured employee, my boss doesn't come to me and said, hey, I just want to warn you, here's what we're going to do next. Here's the decision the company is making. And, you know, and I do understand that this is really a different story because this basically impinges or infringes on Aaron Rodgers' job. You know, the fact that they're taking a quarterback in the first round, and I get that. But so I think that Mark Murphy is going to do something to change the landscape or offer to do something to change the landscape, and we'll see if that's going to be enough. And I really don't think it is, but we'll see.
No, and in that regard, Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show, there was a conversation that was there already a negotiation that fell apart that wound up blowing up on draft day? And I don't ever want to get in the middle of, you know, who told Adam Schefter what and when he told him, and that, you know, that was front and center in our business last week. But the only reason why it's germane is, was there a negotiation that was going on that blew up? And if so, why? I mean, if this is about Aaron getting the contractual dollars and cents on the table that would preclude them having the ability to turn to Jordan Love when they wanted to, then why would he say no to something like that? What was going on behind the scenes that led to all of
this? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, other than to say that I was told by somebody who I trust would know that this is not about his contract. This is about other things. Huh. Now, I'm sure that there is some dissatisfaction with the contract based on everything that is involved here. But again, Rich, the only knowledge I have is before I wrote last Monday, I was told by somebody I trusted that this is about the way Rodgers is treated and the way that the organization handles him, not about his contract. So again, I could be wrong on that. That's what I was told. And we'll see how big a factor the contract is going down the road.
Well, the only reason why I bring up the contract is because soon guaranteed money is gone, and that allows more flexibility for the mm-hmm. team to say goodbye to him, although he still has a say in where he gets to go. I understand all that. But again, and this is why Terry Bradshaw, in my estimation, Peter, was so off about equating, you know, Mark Malone being drafted as a first rounder while he was, yeah, you know, eventually, I guess it turned out to be 3 years, four seasons removed from his last season. And he kind of said, you know, I didn't pay that any mind, and Aaron shouldn't pay that any mind. Is that there, the finances are different. And, you know, the way that teams build championships in the NFL right now is either go the Tom Brady route or trying to win with an older quarterback who's still quite terrific, like what Green Bay's trying to do.
Can I tell you why I don't really think it's about the contract?
Please go for it.
Because okay, so Aaron Rodgers just had an MVP season, had one of the greatest seasons of his life. If Aaron Rodgers has another one of the greatest seasons of his life this year, and Jordan Love doesn't get on the field except to play some in the preseason, do you think there's any chance in the world that the Packers, after this season, would trade Aaron Rodgers or would somehow part ways with Aaron Rodgers? No. That's why I don't I and again, look, I don't know. I'm just telling you, I don't know. All I know is that I try to sort of think of what happens. And everybody who keeps saying that, well, if there's no guaranteed money after this year, the Packers can just get rid of him. The Packers are going to get rid of him if he stinks, but he's not going to stink. You know, he's not going to stink. Now, look, if he gets hurt and Jordan Love comes in and plays great, then probably he's gone. I get that. But under the circumstances that we are faced with now, if Aaron Rodgers plays like Aaron Rodgers and plays a full 17-game season or very close to it, the Green Bay Packers are not getting rid of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But then what?
It's not sensible.
Right. So last one for you on the subject matter then is, then what does Aaron Rodgers want? I mean, is it Gutekunst's head on a pike like Ned Stark, spoiler alert, to use the...
I don't think he wants. You know what? Aaron Rodgers is too smart to want Gutekunst fired.
Right.
Because if he gets... Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the Green Bay Packers announce tomorrow that Brian Gutekunst has been fired. And, you know, and we're doing this because we want to pave the way for Aaron Rodgers, or however they would announce it. Okay. Just imagine that. Okay. As I wrote in my column today, Brian Gutekunst, since taking over as general manager in his 3 years, the Packers have a better record than the New England Patriots. Okay. And what would Aaron Rodgers be known for? He'd be known for running a general manager out of town who's got a record of whatever, like 34-17. You know, he doesn't want to do that. That's why Rich, I'm going to just tell you this. I do not have a direct pipeline to Aaron Rodgers. I'm not Pat McAfee. I'm just simply trying to read tea leaves. And when I heard that Rodgers wants Brian Gutekunst fired, maybe he does want Brian Gutekunst fired. And so I'm saying to you, absolutely unequivocally, I could be wrong. But to me, Aaron Rodgers would have his fingerprints all over the firing of a general manager who's 34-17 in his 3 years. And what sense does that make? You know, I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. Another aspect of your piece today in Football Morning in America, which you could see on Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, NBCSports.com, was the odds that you had for a new Deshaun Watson home should he prove to emerge from what we in the NFL media refer to his situation as a viable NFL quarterback or viable citizen. And put it all together, why do you choose 2022 as the possibility? Is there no, you know, what are you hearing that makes you think 2021 couldn't be a spot?
I mean, I'm hearing is that I think most people around the NFL believe that Deshaun Watson's season this year is going to be interrupted by either trials or a suspension or both. And so that's why I say, here's my best guesses for where he's going to be in 2022. Maybe he'll be somewhere in 2021, but don't you think right now, until all of his legal stuff is played out and until the NFL rules in some way, how in the world, if you're an owner of a franchise, how if you're Jeffrey Lurie right now, do you stand at a press conference and announce that you have just traded for a guy who has been accused by whatever, 21 or 22 women of sexual assault or sexual harassment, whatever the courses say, the cases exactly say.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you can't do it. So, I mean, I put 2022 in there for a very simple reason, that I just think his 2021 season is a washout.
And so, the concept of the Eagles being sitting at the top of your list of odds on the next football team, you have Philadelphia 3-1. I mean, they've got all those first round picks, right? I put it straight to Howie Roseman last week, you know, trying to keep him away from getting popped for tampering. But, you know, the way that they've attempted, you know, the Jalen Hurts, the way that the coach is sitting here saying there's a quarterback competition with Joe Flacco because they just got there. It's clear to me that Hurts has got a year to figure this thing out in Philadelphia,
yeah,
because
exactly.
If not, it's sitting right there
Jalen
on a T
Hurts
form.
Jalen Hurts has the job in his hands. If he plays great, if he is Dak Prescott this year,
right,
then I doubt the Eagles are going to go get a quarterback. And then they will have the true luxury of having a quarterback on his rookie deal for the next 2 years. Now, they can't have it for three, because he was a second round pick, but they can have a quarterback on a rookie deal with all of these high picks, and probably 2 years from now, the money to spend in free agency on missing pieces. They'd be in Fat City if Jalen Hurts is a really good player. But, you know, I think it's probably more likely than not, not certain, but more likely than not that they'll be looking for a quarterback, at some point this year or next. So that's why I put them there. They've got all the resources to do so. But, I mean, I had them tied with Carolina because I think if they decide that they want to go get this player, they're going to be very, very aggressive in trying to do so.
Well, I think it's also wise for you, Peter, to look at the other conference because, you know, that's where Houston would want to send him. And we also know that Watson, again, this is all assuming that he does emerge this through this as a viable quarterback and citizen of the world. Washington would be, I mean, just a dynamite spot because they also didn't really go in a direction this year other than to look at 2021, right? They didn't go in.
That's why those three teams are my top three teams in this, because they all look like they could need quarterbacks in 2022. And all of them, each one of them, have very aggressive front offices and or an owner. And so all of them, I think, this really could be, especially if the Deshaun Watson outcome is not as bad as everyone thinks it looks right now, if then they're going to have, it's like, you know, I wrote about the Dolphins at the top of my column. One of the things I said about Chris Greer is how he uses leverage. He used leverage to get a great deal out of Houston for Laremy Tunsil, and he used leverage to get a really good deal out of the 49ers for the third pick in the draft. Smart teams know how to use leverage, and I'm pretty sure that Nick Caserio worked under Bill Belichick for 20 years and knows how to use leverage.
And I mean, this is all speculation again, Peter, and I, you know, normally you and I don't live in this realm, but it is still out there, and it's stuff that I hear, and I'm sure, you know, you're hearing it too. You know, the Dolphins still have a hankering for Deshaun Watson, and if not vice versa, you know, Will Fuller is now on that team. And again, the fact that the Texans took a kid with their first draft choice this year, I mean, with all their holes to fill, to me, puts the writing completely.
They have one pick in the top 80.
Please.
They choose a quarterback. They are an expansion team.
That's what
they have one pick in the top 80,
right,
and they pick a quarterback. And Nick Caserio says, in essence, oh, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. This is not anything about Deshaun Watson. Please.
Right. And the fact that we have not heard, okay, because you know, you have to assume, let's put it that way, let's live in the realm of again, assumption and speculation, that Watson and his team want out of Houston immediately and want to turn the page immediately if they possibly can and do it this year. They don't want to sit around and have Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor take his job while he's sitting around in a as you said, in a court proceeding, or if he is going to take a suspension from the NFL, do it right away, but with a new team where he's already with new teammates and he can already do what he usually does, which is ingratiate himself into a new community and it's good works. Put it all together, you know that there's going to be that sort of want and desire from Watson's team. The fact that we have not heard from a lawyer who has put everything on Instagram the minute this thing came free makes me think that there might be something happening with Watson trying to settle. And that's why this is quiet. This is very, very quiet right now, especially when there's a lawyer involved who could not put more on his Instagram account to put pressure on Watson, who I think wants this thing done with right now. I'm wondering what you're hearing about all that that you can share.
Rich, I hate to say it. I'm not really covering the story. I'm just not. It's, I'm not doing very much with the story.
Right.
And so I have not had nose to the ground about why is it so quiet. But what you're saying makes total sense.
That's why I'm saying it's completely speculative, Peter. You know, and I know you don't usually.
It's speculative, but it is sensible.
So put it all together. And, you know, those are the two biggest stories that we have. Is there another one that we're missing in this offseason that as we're hitting the schedule on Wednesday, what could be happening? Is it another quarterback situation that could come to the fore?
I think the only other thing that really interests me right now is, you know, how will Jimmy Garoppolo play? I think he's going to start the season with the Niners and will start as the starting quarterback. And then we'll see how long he hangs on to his job. He might hang on to it for the full year. He drives them deep in the playoffs. I think the 49ers will keep him next year.
That's amazing.
But, you know, everything right there, because I believe if they had gotten a great offer for him on draft day or draft weekend, they would have taken it. But that's the other story I think that's really interesting right now. What happens at quarterback in San Francisco?
Peter, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much, as always.
Hey, no problem, Rich. Enjoyed it.
Right.
Take care.
Thanks, Peter. That's Peter King right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Look, and I'm also loath to dive into the speculation, but that's, I'm putting it all together. Wouldn't you think Deshaun Watson would want this thing over and done with as fast as he can, with his reputation as intact as it possibly can? And we're just, again, that's going to take some doing for him. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, again, that's all it would be for him. Because if he did touch a woman, then that's a whole different ball of wax, and we shouldn't even be talking about football. But if that's the case, why isn't where is the Houston police investigating all of this? And where, honestly, the fact that a lawyer who used social media as much as he did for as long as he did, I bet you if you Googled Tony Busby's name and hit latest for the news, I don't know the last time the guy put out a statement.
Stand by.
Don't you think he would have put out a statement? Like, if this was like before the draft, don't you think he'd do it the night that Davis Mills gets drafted? The reason why the Texans drafted this guy is they know that my clients are telling the truth. Don't you think he would be hitting hard with both fists, this guy, on Instagram? And he didn't do a thing.
Nothing. It's been about a month, I think, Chris. It's kind of like the last thing I'm seeing.
Is that what you're seeing, right? You know what I'm saying?
Like in the 2 to 4 weeks.
Again, I know I'm living in the world of speculation, and that's always very dicey. But if he's really putting the screws to Deshaun Watson, don't you think that would have been a perfect time? Friday night, Instagram, congratulations to Davis Mills. We welcome you to the city of Houston, and it's obvious that Deshaun Watson's not going to be on the team this year because they know my clients are right. He didn't do it. That's why I'm thinking something's up for 2021. Could be wrong. Take a break. Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, and set up our two guests third hour, Jason Light of the Buccaneers, Jake Tapper, the novelist and friend of the program, and me.
Ah!
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Warm takes.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Adam from Philadelphia, you are on the Rich Eisen Show. Adam?
Hey, Rich. Listen, I've been a huge baseball fan my whole life, but I'm having a hard time watching the game these days. All the strikeouts and all the shit.
Once time travel becomes a basic mode of transportation, I'm definitely transporting back to the eighth inning of Game 7 in the 2003 ALCS. Just so I can tell Grady Whittle to take Pedro out of the game. Wait a minute. If I do that, then Whittle won't get fired, and Tito Francona won't get hired and guide the Sox to the first championship the next season. Whew, scratch that. Man, forget it. That was way too close to actually happening.
Warm takes.
How do I pretend that I'm actually paying attention to what Rich is saying right now? Okay, I'll nod my head a few times, crinkle my brow, and move some levers on the console. That always works.
Warm takes.
Over the shift. And then on top of it all, I don't want to hear people say to me that...
There's only 5 seconds left in the clock. Jaylen Brown inbounds to Tatum. Tatum gets double teamed. He throws it to Chris Brockman. Brockman heaves it from half court. It's good! Unbelievable! What a shot by Brockman! Danny Ainge has pulled another rabbit out of his hat with the acquisition of this Brockman kid.
Warm takes.
Man, I'm living a charmed life. I get to come in here every day, mix this great show, and then go off to Big Fox and get to work on some of the biggest events in sports. How can I show my appreciation to all these great people? Hey, what's Doug the Pug up to?
Warm takes.
Manuel, of course. I've watched every episode of you on Entourage. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's very flattering. It's not the first time someone said they've gotten lost in my eyes, but... Thank God my girlfriend Sarah's not a mind reader. Where is she? Hey, how about those Red Sox, huh?
Warm takes.
Strikeouts, shifts, strikeouts, shifts.
Warm takes.
Our good buddy Jeff in Detroit is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been, Jeff? Wonderful. That's so heartwarming, the whole thing.
I mean, the music is amazing.
Because it's so real. You guys don't listen to me. Honestly, I come here, you don't listen to me, I go home, my children don't listen to me.
Who listens to me?
You know what listens to me? The loyal listeners of this program.
I listen to you.
TJ listens to me.
Most of the time.
Brockman listens.
Say what?
We listen.
Say what? Uh-huh.
We do, right?
Huh?
We listen. Thank you. Brockman doesn't listen to me, I know that. I don't listen to Brockman.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're here on Peacock. We're also here on this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Reading the writing on the wall is sometimes very difficult for people, right?
Especially when it's hieroglyphics, Rich.
Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's very difficult for, I guess... Particularly wealthy people sometimes will read the writing on the wall because sometimes they're the ones who write on the wall, right?
They're doing the writing.
They usually own the wall. So did you see that apparently 3 members of the Super League are still holding on tight?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
One of them is Juventus.
Well, and Real Madrid too, right? 3 members of the Super, like...
Juventus is my team.
It's kind of like the only thing I can equate this to... And again, just because we put everything together, Roger Bennett came on when the Super League was created and was lamenting and was depressed and was ready to, You know, like we had to like take his belt and shoelaces away from him when he called in the show for Men in Blazers. And then 2 days later, Super League's gone, finished, like it never happened. Poof, like Kaiser Soze, gone. And he calls in jubilant. Like we've never that was amazing.
It was amazing.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up, right?
It was great.
These three teams that are still into the Super League, right? The three clubs. It's kind of like the Seinfeld episode where George found that club filled with supermodels. Got to enjoy it, right? For as long as they got to enjoy it. And then they told everybody about it. And then they went back and the club was gone. They still try to get in there. And Roger said the reason why the teams outside of the UK that were so into it is because their leagues, La Liga and what have you, are falling apart.
Right.
The Premier League is still very strong.
Yes.
So they're looking for a way out. But Juventus could be bounced from Serie A if they don't.
I know. They're facing expulsion. If they don't withdraw.
Expulsion.
Juventus and
Real Madrid and Barcelona.
They're still hanging on for dear life.
Still in, yeah.
That one made me laugh out loud.
I mean, what
can you read? Can you? I mean, the UK clubs are out. They're never coming back.
See ya.
Right? Some of them are even hoping to get on the pitch in their own towns without people still flipping out.
I really hope this is somehow worked into Ted Lasso.
Oh,
too.
Season two.
Like it's got to be, right?
Was it already written in the can, though, is the question.
I'm not sure. It premieres end of July, season two.
So Chris and I weren't sure.
I don't know. I don't think
maybe so. Maybe they still got some time. I don't know.
To work it in, season two is going to be lit.
Hopefully.
He's there.
They should make it like Ted's idea.
The Super League is Ted's idea?
Well, just they should have. If I'm workshopping it, like, because I'm assuming this thing was already way down the road. Way down the road. I'm assuming it's way down the road. They've got to do a reshoot where Ted just like sitting in his office comes up with an idea and it's the Super League and it bounces it off. And they're all like, no, that won't work.
Coach Beard and
Higgins. That's it. And it's just like it's sort of like a little wink and a nod that we're out here. Yeah. We get it. Yeah. And then it's Ted's idea. You know what I mean? That would be the win. To just rip it straight from the headline. Just do one quick reshoot. Put Ted in the sweater.
Yep.
Get just a couple of the guys left, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in his office.
They could shoot it at Sudeikis' house. Just something real
just put, get it just in there. Quick. And it's his idea. You know what we should do, guys?
Super League.
How about we just get out of this whole rigmarole and we start our own thing? You know, come up with some phrase what his mama used to tell him.
Yep. Barbecue sauce.
You just finished it this weekend, right?
Just finished last night. It is tremendous. Everything you've heard about it, it's that.
It is that and more,
that
I know, right?
Some, yeah. That and
more. That and more. What'd you do this weekend, Mikey?
Worked Sunday. Okay. Saturday was a little relaxation.
Okay, very good. And then you.
Hit the boat.
You got on the boat? Your new boat?
Friday.
Okay.
Nice.
And then I saw Sarah's Instagram stories. You're all grown up, man.
No.
I saw the show you put on at home, the show of affection for Sarah's second. Like this is her second first Mother's Day with an actual like fully forming human being, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Her Mother's Day last year was just trying to get from meal to meal and get your kid. But
yeah, it was. We were still waking up every 4 hours. And,
this is the first Mother's Day where Cage is close to being an actual fully forming human being here.
Yeah, yeah. He talks. We don't really know what he's saying.
You should have seen it.
But he's talking a lot.
Flowers, very nice arrangement. Had to be at least three figures in the arrangement.
It was
had to be.
It was bigger than I expected.
Had to be.
It's possible I took someone else's order.
No. Because again, I just saw it. I'm like, this guy who used to complain that, you know, when lunch was on him and you ordered the more expensive sports drink, like that's the way the Rich Eisen show launched with Chris Brockman in that regard.
True.
That picture is the best.
Very impressive. I couldn't have been more happy for Sarah and for you, and you're all grown stuff. Jason Light, GM of the Champion Buccaneers, coming up in a second.
He's a changed
man. I saw the whole thing. I mean,
oh, made my famous French toast.
You did. You made breakfast.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man. Make coffee. I figured out how to use the coffee machine.
You got her. You got her an autographed Dansby Swanson card.
Yeah, I got her some
thoughtful, and it's yet also self-serving, but very thoughtful.
A bunch of Braves memorabilia.
That was my favorite part of the whole thing. Like, because I'll just say it. He's been going ham buying cards over the last few months. So he gets Sarah a few Braves cards, which is smart.
No, no, it all works out in the end. It all goes to the same bottom line. It all goes to the same coffers. But I'll just say, honestly, this is a man who once upon a time used to never, he would give gifts.
Still Tupperware, Rich?
Well, yes, he would wrap the top and the bottom of the Tupperware that he was way late things. In returning
that
as a gift.
So funny.
It was so good.
You know, I mean, honestly, you're thumbs up, man.
I'm trying. Thank you, sir.
Thumbs up.
I mean, I learned from the best.
Oh, is that me?
Watching you. I mean,
best dad ever, bro.
I mean, you are an example for Brockman, right?
Am I really, Chris? Really?
I would say yes.
How am I an example?
I would say... like I knew you when I was in a different point in my life.
Yes, you were. Yes.
And I see your beautiful family and the way your relationship is at home.
Thank you. Good.
It was something to aspire to.
You make him a better man,
I just was
Rich.
Never ready for
Look
it
at that.
Until recently.
But you didn't think you were ready for it.
I didn't think I was ready. I wasn't sure it was going to happen.
You just never met the right person.
Right, that's exactly. So you never know when that's going to happen in your life. Like, it's never too late. I keep telling people that. It's never too late.
Yeah. I mean, the podcast started... when the podcast started.
Oh, it was even.
It's about 11 years ago now, or 10 years ago now.
Different guy.
10 years ago now. Yeah. 10 years ago or 10 and a half years ago, it started with his girlfriend at the time. You fell out of a tree, right? You fell out of an apple tree. You were picking apples, and you fell out of the tree.
Avocado tree.
Avocado?
Yeah. And I had like this like foot-long scar because I hit a branch on the way down. There was a lot going on.
I mean, ever since we got to know each other, he's beaten and battered. He's like the Indiana Jones of this show.
He's evolved, though.
A lot going on back then.
He's evolved.
There's a lot going on back then. Now look at him. I'm just, again, I saw Sarah's Instagram stories, and I'm like, Chris Brock.
I love it.
I have to show, I'm going to take a shot of that, because I have to show Susie the flower arrangement you got. She won't believe it's from you. Maybe it was somebody else's order.
I don't believe it was from me.
Somebody else wound up with a tin can and a rose in it saying, wait a minute.
And a Freddie Freeman card.
What the hell?